Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms.
This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled, Living by Faith in a Broken World, Luke 7, 1 through 17.
The passage this morning is a wonderful story of the healing of Jesus in some unique circumstances, and it could stay there. It could stay as a story that was a wonderful story of 2,000 years ago, but this morning I'd like to invite you to see it as something a little different. In fact, what I'd like you to see this first and foremost is a story about a collision. It's a collision because on the one hand, there's this procession that is coming out of the city. It is a procession of sorrow and sadness. It is a procession at the loss of a loved one. And then it intersects in this junction with another procession. It is the procession of Jesus. It is the procession of death that is being collided with the procession of life. And at that point, this story takes on a whole new energy. In 2021, this story has a different kind of a relevance because it gets to something not only what happened 2,000 years ago, but is still happening today. And this intersection is not a mistake. It is intentional, and it is the ongoing work of Christ. This morning, I want to talk about the healing work of Christ. And at the basis of this is this truth, is that Christ is about the work of healing. Even a casual glance at the Gospels and the stories of Jesus will show that Jesus is constantly doing healing. Everywhere Jesus goes, Jesus is doing healing. Sometimes he's laying hands on people, and sometimes he just has to walk into the area. There is something spontaneous. There is something about his very presence that brings healing everywhere. In a time where we are wearing masks and keeping distance because we're very aware of the contagious nature of some disease, it is wonderful to see a story where healing is even more contagious, and it breaks out because Jesus is about the ministry of healing. Everywhere he goes and everything he does is about healing. And I contend that this story is relevant not only for the needs of the day, but for us. And it has to do with some of the healing that needs to take place today. I'm going to suggest that maybe the first thing that needs to happen is a healing of our image of God. Most of us have this idea of God that is inherited, and it's part of growing up and being concrete in our thinking and all. And it's perfectly appropriate at some ages, but at some point we need to let go of it because we have this image of you and I are here and God is up there, and God is up there where everything is great, and we're down here where it's not so great. And we have this image that somehow when our heart is breaking, when we are part of this procession that comes every day of sorrow and sadness and death, and our heart is breaking, that then we pray to God, and we have to pray in such a way that somehow we have to get God's attention. And God's busy, I guess, because, you know, he seems to be distracted, and so we have to pray, or we get more people to help us pray, and we somehow have to somehow win God's attention and champion God's care for us. And if we pray hard enough, well enough, in the right way, and our number comes up, then somehow God, who's up there, pays attention to what's going down here, and then maybe, just maybe, decides to come down, and then something good happens. I know that sounds a little broad stroke, but how many times have we prayed that way? In fact, I believe that kind of prayer is at the core of what needs to be healed, so I'm going to be offering during Lent a class, the pastor's class on prayer. And it's just a way of enlarging our understanding of prayer. And there'll be a chance to sign up and see how to sign up at the end of the service today. But the short version of it is this, is that prayer does change things and prayer changes us. The one thing that prayer never changes is God. We never have to get God's attention. We never have to get God's favor. This story dispels that illusion because it is this collision of, as life is going on and as this procession of death and sorrow and sadness that cuts across it is this procession of life, that Jesus is the very proof of God's heart and that God is here, that the word Emmanuel that Jesus was giving at birth literally means God is with us. The one thing we never have to pray about is, will God be with us? God is already here, and God is already at work, and we don't have to worry about getting God's attention. Most of the time, it's God trying to get ours, particularly around healing. So if it's our image of God that needs to be healed, maybe the second part in that, that just as important, is also what needs to be healed is our image of healing. You and I, when we think of healing, we think of someone who is sick, and that's true, or someone who's in a hospital, or someone who's in trouble. All of that's true. Sometimes when we think about the ministry of healing, and if I were to say you are a healer and you are to do the healing, the thing that flashes is something that is sort of ethereal. It's special people in special places doing special things that we don't understand. Sometimes it is the kind of thing, and we've seen enough charlatans that alongside the people who are sincere, that makes us wonder, I just can't be a part of that. But even though there are charlatans, to be sure, that doesn't let us off the hook that you and I are meant to be healers. Neither does it let us off the hook to think of, well, that's just too big. That's for special spiritual people. Can I suggest this? That our problem with healing is not that it's too big, but that we have made it too small. And here's what I mean. You and I think of healing in terms of the physical, and it is that, and it is more. And it includes the emotional and the scars that people have and the things that the people carry with us on the inside, and it's more. Sometimes in Jesus's ministry, it has to do with restoring people who are on the margins of society, who have been kicked off to the side because they're not worthy. It's the tax collectors, it's the woman at the well, it's the Zacchaeuses, it's the Roman centurions, like the story just before ours. The people who are unlikely or unworthy, and Jesus restores them, and that's a part of healing. Sometimes it has to do with forgiving or receiving forgiveness. How many times does Jesus talk about that? Because that's a part of healing too. And sometimes it has to do with restoring not only people, but whole communities in the world. When Jesus announces his ministry at the beginning, he talks about the year of the Lord's favor. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And the year in the Lord's favor is a shorthand way of talking about when everything is healed. And it refers to the entire community, but more than a community and more than a nation. It has to do with all of humanity. It has to do with those amazing images in the prophets of when there will be war no more, and swords will be moved into plowshares because they will be just irrelevant to life as it is now. But it goes even more than that. It has to do with all of creation. It has to do with animals, lions laying down with lambs, and bigger than that. Sometimes it even gets cosmic when it talks about the heavens sing and shout and the trees clap their hands. It's talking about the healing of all creation. All of creation has been restored and all is rejoicing, and that's the work of healing. And anything that contributes to any of that is a part of the work of healing. Jesus is about healing. And the question is, what about you? And what about me? How do we fit into that? We can't talk about the life or the work of healing without also talking then about the life of faith. If the healing that's going on today has to do with the healing of the image of God, has to do with the healing of the work of healing itself, it also has to do with what our life is about. And our life is a life of faith. You and I sometimes, again, have this image of faith as being that thing that it has to do with the concepts about God or certain doctrines about God, and giving our assent to those things as if that's faith. And that's a very surface, it's an important part of faith, but it doesn't go anywhere near deep enough, because when the Bible is talking about faith, when Jesus is talking about having faith, he's talking about letting your whole life revolve around the reality of what God has already done. The one who invites us to participate in the life and the work of healing is the one who has already overcome all the sin and the sickness and death. It's the one that has already interrupted that procession and invites us to interrupt it as well. And we only get to do that if we can possibly believe and we can put our life around the reality of what God has done. And if that seems hard to imagine, here's a story that I think might help. Our race and racism class is studying the book and using the book by John Lewis. And there, the very first chapter about John Lewis that he writes in this beautiful book is about faith. And what he talks about faith is more what the Bible's talking about faith. And if you've ever wondered how the John Lewises of this world are able to live and continue and persevere and do what they do, all you need to do is go to the first chapter and look at what he talks about faith, because he talks about faith this way. He says, "Faith to me is knowing in the solid core of your soul that the work is already done." Did you catch that? It's knowing in the core of your soul that the work is already done. Even as it's being conceived in my mind, even as it's taking shape, it's already accomplished. And the question is, so who's doing the conceiving and who's planting that idea? It's the same God who's inviting us to be part of the healing. He goes on to talk about faith. He's saying, faith is being so sure of what the Spirit has whispered in your heart that your belief in its eventuality is unshakable. Nothing can make you doubt that what you have heard will become a reality. Nothing can shake the conviction that what you have heard is going to be a reality, because it already is. Even if you do not live to see it come to pass, you know without one doubt that it will be. That is faith. Sometimes faith is portrayed as like magic. Sometimes faith and healing are portrayed in ways of things like phrases like name it and claim it, that if I can just name what I want and claim it and believe it hard enough, long enough, that God will relent and give me what I want. But if that were true, and it's not, if it were true, everybody would be healed all the time. Nobody would die. If that were true, everybody would win the lottery every week. If that were true, the Broncos would be in winning every Super Bowl, and so would every other team. We know it's not true. We know that it's not enough just to want something and pray for something and somehow make magic. It's not about naming it and claiming it. The life of faith is much more about naming it and living it. Giving ourselves to the reality, even if we don't see it, that we are giving ourselves to the wholeness and to the health and the salvation, which, by the way, in the Bible are pretty much all the same word, to give ourselves and live into the things that make for wholeness, health, and salvation for ourselves and for the world, our community around us. And then we are doing the work of healing. That's why I like our This I Can Do challenge. We started it last week. Some of you participated in it. I'm going to do it one more week because I wanted to do it 2 weeks in a row to sort of get some momentum. And what you do is you just go on to the link that will be at the end of the service, and or if you're watching this at another time, you'll see it underneath the sermon. There'll be a link to where to go. And it's just a simple way of saying, yeah, count me in. In less than 1 hour this next week, I will give myself to something that blesses, something that makes a difference, something that helps somebody out, that contributes to the work of healing, because Jesus is about the work of healing, and so am I. There's a place to put it in there. You don't have to say what you're going to do or what you did, but it would be great if you did, because I think that just helps encourage other people and gives other people ideas. Last week, people talked about sending cards of encouragement or calling people they hadn't seen for a while. Talked about giving to groups and charities that did worthwhile work, and or bringing a meal to someone or helping someone who's just moved into a house. And all these are different ways of being part of the work of healing, being part of the work of wholeness, of naming what it is that God wants in this world and then living it and giving it to ourselves and recognizing that what we want and what we long for, it's bigger than any one lifetime. It doesn't always come instantly. Now, sometimes it does. Sometimes we pray for something and we want something, and somebody gets better, or a condition, or a hurricane, something changes, and it's instantaneous, and there seems to be no other explanation, and we just say, God was here, and God was. Most of the time it doesn't work that way. Most of the time it is long and it is hard. It is people naming it and living it and giving themselves to it one life or another. It is even when my prayer for healing doesn't get answered the way I want to, but I give myself to that work for others. Sometimes it comes in the form of people building, funding hospitals, medical school for doctors and nurses and technicians and all the surrounding and support. And if you've ever seen that come into a community that didn't have it, the rejoicing that goes on there and people thanking God and saying, God has come and God has, because that's part of healing as well, isn't it? Sometimes it's behind the scenes. It's doing the hard and laborious work of what didn't work and what would work. And every time we come up with a new antibiotic or a vaccination, anytime you see a vaccination going into somebody's arms, you can just see it. And all the work and all the years and all the suffering that went into that fueled the passion to make that moment happen. You can see it in that person's eyes. You can certainly see it in their family and their friends. And they say, God has come. Thank God. Because God has. Because that's healing. Sometimes it's the long work of creating conditions that are just healthy, of providing simple things that are life-saving things like clean water, good nutrition, safe shelter, safe conditions, doing the hard work of earning and protecting and giving that to others so that people don't have to go to hospitals or doctor's offices, that people can live in peace and people can live in at ease and in joy. And oh my goodness, that is also the work of healing in whatever form, in whatever fashion. It all matters. It is living what it is, naming and then living it and giving ourselves to it, because knowing that God is about the work of healing, and so are you, and so am I. Maybe that healing this morning needs to start with healing the image of God. God is so much grander and closer than we ever imagined. Maybe it has to do with healing the image of healing itself, or maybe it has to do with healing the image of who we are and how deep that goes. It often begins with a simple question though, doesn't it? It often begins with just that simple question. So, where does it hurt? Where does it hurt? Where does it hurt in your life? Where does it hurt in this world? Where is your heart going out? Because I can assure you, you don't have to get God's attention to come to that place. That's already where God's heart is breaking. And this may be God's way of getting your attention, inviting you to participate there, being a part of what God is doing. So before we come to the communion table this day, take a moment and just ask yourself, where does it hurt? Where does it hurt in my life? Where does it hurt in this world? Where is my heart going out? Because you may have located the very next place where God wants to do the work of healing.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.